God bless you. Matthew chapter 26 this morning. Matthew chapter 26. We're taking a break from our series that we've been going through in the Gospel of John. We finished the Old Testament book of Exodus. I'm praying and asking the Lord what Old Testament book He'd have us to go to next. But I felt the Lord leading me in this direction this morning, preaching on this subject of the Lord's Supper. We're going to be observing this tonight in our service, and I encourage every one of you to come back to be in the house of God to observe the Lord's Supper. Those have trusted Christ and their hearts right with Him. And I just really sensed the Lord in my own heart and life when I was in my study and preparing for this service this morning and going in another direction and all of this. The Lord just brought my attention to this thought. And it's as if the Lord is saying, I want you to think about my sacrifice all day long. And I like this. There's a theme. And we just want to give God the glory today. Give the Lord Jesus Christ the glory. He has died for the sin of the world. And there's so many people just running around with no thought about the Lord. They care less about Him. They have no idea what life's all about. But it's good for God's own people just to stop and just to thank Jesus for what He's done for us. And today I want to focus our attention all day long on what the Lord has done. You're in Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse number 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And He took the cup and gave thanks, Him saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And I'm preaching to you this morning on the Lord's Supper. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this thought. And Lord, I feel so unworthy to preach on this morning. Because there's no way to describe. But I pray that our hearts will be stilled. I pray that our minds and hearts will be clear and clean. And I pray that we will be completely and totally focused upon the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Challenge us today. Comfort us today. If somebody's here that's never trusted you, I pray today's a day of salvation. We love you and thank you for loving us first in Jesus' name. Amen. Simple thoughts today. Simple thoughts this morning upon the thought of the Lord's Supper. In this text before us, we see the Lord and His disciples are observing what the Bible would call the Passover Supper that showed Christ's fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies and Christ's fulfillment of Old Testament promises that God would send forth the Lamb to be slain for the sin of the world. That's what this supper was a fulfillment of. In other words, it's showing that the Lamb has come. In preparation for this supper, the Lord told Peter and John to go in to a certain city where they would find a man carrying a pitcher of water. Now this is going back to verse number 17 and following. They were to follow this man to the house he went into. And once they were to go, they were to go inside and tell the goodman of the house that the Lord would keep the Passover at his house with his disciples. The Lord said he would show them a large upper room, furnished and prepared. Peter and John were to make ready for the Passover supper in that room that was furnished and prepared. And the Word of God tells us that Peter and John obeyed the Lord and found exactly as the Lord told them that he would find. Now, the Passover Supper was turned into the Last Supper, known also as the Lord's Supper between the Lord Jesus and his disciples on the night that he would be betrayed into the hands of wicked men. Now, it's the Lord's Supper that I want us to draw our attention to in this service, if you will, in preparation for the observance of the Lord's Supper in our service tonight together. Now, it's important for us to remember how the Lord's Supper is one of two church ordinances. It's the Lord's Supper along with baptism by immersion. The Lord's Supper is a communion service. It's observed by the local church in which the fruit of the vine, the juice, if you will, and the unleavened bread are partaken of by born-again children of Almighty God. Children of God are commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper. We're commanded to. Do you understand that? He desires us to. And it is a privilege to be in a position where you can partake of the Lord's Supper. However, let a child of God, and the Bible teaches this, so examine himself to make sure that he is living in fellowship with the Lord at that moment. So as we observe the Lord's Supper, we invite any born-again child of God who is right with God and they know they're right with God to observe the Lord's Supper with us here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We let folks examine themselves. And as we do this and we are able to take the unleavened bread and the juice and partake of that and take it within our own body, that is an exalted privilege that God has given to us. It's good to remember as well that the Lord only commanded the observance of the Lord's Supper. He did not tell us how often to do it. He left it up to every individual local church. Some people may try to observe it on a weekly basis. Some people may try to do it three or four times a year. Typically here we do it twice a year. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing saying that our way is the only way. No, God did not tell us how often. He just said, observe. And as oft as you eat this bread and as oft as you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Now, as we think about the Lord's Supper this morning, there are three simple thoughts I want to give you from this text and a parallel passage to this text in the Gospel according to Luke. First of all, this morning, let's notice the picture of the Lord's Supper. Now, you find this in verses 26, 27, and 28. Notice this where he says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he brake it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now get this, as they were eating that particular night, and as they were in that place together on the night before the Lord would die for the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus took time and he took bread. And the Bible says he took the bread and he broke it. Now I want you to use your imagination here, okay? Imagine the Lord sitting in that upper room with those disciples and he takes bread and he breaks it. And the Bible says he blessed it. And then he told his disciples, "Now take this and eat it, for this is my body." Then he took the cup with the fruit of the vine in it and he gave thanks for it. Now can you imagine that? He gave thanks for the cup and what was contained therein. And he said, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood that will be shed." Now, some will try to teach that these elements literally became the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. The reason I know that is because he was sitting there in his body when he said this. His blood was flowing through his veins. And as you partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, that is not the literal body of Jesus Christ. That is not the literal blood of Jesus Christ. That's not what he's teaching. The first thing I'm trying to show you here is he's giving a picture. That's all he's doing. We need to understand that the bread and the drink that night were simply a beautiful picture of what the Lord was going to give for the redemption of mankind. The unleavened bread pictures the broken body of Christ. The juice pictures the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Get this, when the Lord took that bread and he broke it, he was saying, this is what my body is getting ready to go through for the sin of the world. When he took the fruit of the vine in the cup and he had them drink it, he said, this is what will come out of my body for the remission of sin. Now we know, friends, as we think about this beautiful picture of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it would do well, and I can't accurately describe it, but I believe it would do well for us just to travel back to Calvary just a moment. And let's just think and meditate upon this. And may I say this to you? Ask God to clear your heart here. Ask God to clear your mind here. You know, the devil's going to try to distract you from what I'm getting ready to say here. He's going to try to get your mind off on something else, like what we're going to do about this, or what we're going to do about this. Or some of you have carried some heavy burdens in here today, and the devil's going to try to get you to focus on those things. But the whole emphasis today is, let's put all of that to the side. Can we do that? And let's think and meditate all day long on the bread that was broken, on the juice that was partaken of, picturing the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You travel back to the time when they arrested him and took him to trial, and you think about the time when he stood there before them as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You see him standing there as the Lord of glory, as they began to ridicule him and mock him, as they began to come and take the hair of his beard and pull it out by the roots. You began to see them walk by the lovely Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and clearing their throat and spitting into his face. You see them taking a blindfold and putting it over his eyes. And they come and they take the palms of their hands and they whack him up against the face. And they say, you say that you're the Messiah. Who was it that just hit you? Tell us who it is, because we know you can't see us with your eyes. We've blindfolded you and pow, pow, pow. Tell us who hit you. And the Lord just stands there. Opens not his mouth. You see them as they take the cat of nine tails. I've heard different things about this Roman whip. My understanding of it from studying it is that it was a Roman whip with nine strands coming out of it. The cat of nine tails, you see, nine strands. And according to my study, they would intertwine things in those leather straps, or whatever straps were made of, that would absolutely just lacerate, emaciate the human body. I've heard at times that maybe they even put lead balls tied on the end of them, and things like glass and animal bone and stuff just intertwined, that when they would tie a person up. Now, some people believe that they held him, that what they did was tie his hands above his head like this, to where his back was stretched out. And some people believe that they wrapped his arms around some kind of a post. Anyway, they would tie the victim up to where their back was exposed. And a Roman soldier, with all of his might, would take that whip and come down across their back. And those nine straps, you can imagine, just wrapping around the body. And then they would rip it back. And they would come back down and rip it back and come back down and rip it back. You see the Lord, as they were literally ripping the flesh from his body. I don't know what he looked like after that, but I know the Old Testament prophesies that his inwards stared upon him. I don't know what all that means, but it seems to me that he was so emaciated that his inner being was exposed. It's only by God's power that he didn't fall and die at that moment, friends. Do you see him tied and allowing them to take the cat of nine tails and come across his back and rip it and come across his back and rip it and come across his back and rip it? You see them not finished with him. Put a purple robe upon him. And they plait a crown of thorns. And they place it on his brow. And they take a stick and beat it down on his head. The blood comes trickling down his face. They take him to the cross of Calvary. And they take spikes and drive them in through his hands. Drive them in. They put the cross in place. And the Word of God says that his bones were out of joint. See, the interesting thing is we know from studying the Word of God that not a bone of his was broken. Not one bone was broken. But his body was. His bones weren't broken. But his body was broken. According to my study, there are five wounds that can kill a person. Five deadly wounds that by themselves it has the potential of killing somebody. You have laceration. I'm just going to stay right here in the pulpit. Let's cut this off, okay? I'm just going to stay right here in the pulpit. You have the laceration. You have the penetration. You have the perforation. You have the incision, and you have the bruise. Every one of these wounds, every one of these wounds can kill a person if it's administered in that kind of force. But when you think about the five deadly wounds, the Lord suffered all five of them. When you think about the laceration, that's his back when they rip the cat of nine tails across his back. When you think about the penetration, that's the spikes through his hands and the spikes through his feet. When you think about the perforation, that's the spikes in his, I'm talking about the thorns that are in his, the spear that they run through his side. When you think about the incision, that's the crown of thorns that they pierced his brow. And when you think about the bruise, that's when they came and just beat his face to a bloody pulp. And as they beat him and nailed him to the old rugged cross, his precious, royal, holy, sinless blood was flowing from his body, falling. And the night that he took the bread, on the night before he went to Calvary, he grabbed the bread and he broke it. And he said, "I want you to eat this, men, because my body, it's going to be broken. I want to take the cup with the juice in it, because my royal, holy, sinless blood will be released from my body. Before I give it to you to drink, let me just give thanks for it." You see his blood flowing. You see his body broken. Why? Because the Bible says without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The Because the Bible says you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but you are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish. The Word of God tells us here and elsewhere that the Lord Jesus gave thanks when He presented these elements to the disciples that night. And even though it was terrible on Him, awful on Him, we can't describe it. He gave thanks for it. Because He knew, because He was going to go through all of that, that He was going to be able to spend fellowshipping time with His creatures, those He made. This Lord's Supper that we're going to be partaking of tonight, and we're just drawing our attention to it this morning, it's only a picture. But what's it a picture of? It's a picture of His broken body and His shed blood. Secondly, we notice its purpose. Not only its picture, but its purpose. You can hold your place here. You don't have to turn with me because this will be pretty quick. But in a parallel account in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, listen to this. And He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is My body which is given for you. Here it is now. Here's the purpose. This do in remembrance of Me. This is the purpose of the Lord's Supper. See, the picture of the Lord's Supper is His body was broken. The picture is His blood was shed. But the purpose is that we never forget it. We never lose sight of it. And He said, I want you to take this and remember Me. Remember Me. You notice on the front of our communion table, this do in remembrance of Me. And this is the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Listen to me now. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is not to save a soul. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is to remember the Lord and His great sacrifice that He made so we can be saved by the grace of Almighty God. The bread and the juice will remind us how sinful sin is. And when nothing but Christ's death could atone for it. The bread and the juice will remind us that though our sins are great, a great price has been paid for our redemption. And not least, it will produce in us gratitude. The bread and juice will remind us how great our debt to Christ and how deeply bound we are to glorify Him in our lives. And may these be the feelings that we experience whenever we receive of the Lord's Supper. All it is, there's nothing miraculous about the bread. There's nothing miraculous about the juice. It's just a remembrance of what the Lord has done for us. That's one reason we like to turn our Lord's Supper services into praise and testimony services. You'll have an opportunity tonight, if God so leads you, to stand and testify just to thank the Lord for what His death means to you. Because He died, you and I can live. And we should never get over this. The picture of the Lord's Supper, His broken body, His shed blood. The purpose of the Lord's Supper, never to forget what He's done for us. And I close with this. What's the promise of the Lord's Supper? You bring this back to Matthew chapter 26 and look at verse number 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine. Notice this now. Until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom. Can I get an amen there, please? You'll notice when you come tonight, maybe you never have noticed, but if you don't, you can when you come tonight, that there'll be three chairs sitting around this communion table. There's going to be one on my right side, your left side, that's for the pastor. There'll be one on my left side, your right side, that's for the deacon chairman. But this communion table will be pushed out a little bit, and there's going to be an empty, vacant chair sitting right back here. And we do that for emphasis, because it reminds us of His promise here. Of His promise that there's coming a great, beautiful day in the future that we're going to drink of the fruit of the vine just like this in the presence of the Lord Himself. What's the promise of the Lord's Supper here? He said, I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This was the Lord giving a wonderful and precious promise that He was coming back to this earth again. He's speaking about His upcoming death. No doubt was a dark time. We've been studying that as we've been traveling through John. No doubt it was a dark time for them. He's been talking to them how he's going to die. He's going to die. It's a dark time. But as one man said, thus, by saying this, He led His disciples through the dark valley that lay just ahead into the sunshine that lies just beyond. I like that. As God's children partake of the Lord's Supper, it's a great picture of His broken body and His shed blood. It has a purpose to draw our minds heavenward and draw it backward to the Calvary and remember what He went through. But it also helps us look forward because we realize there's a great and precious promise connected to the Lord's Supper. And that promise is the Lord is coming back again. We may be and we are living in dark days, but let us keep our eyes on the sky, for King Jesus is coming again. 1 Corinthians 11:26, here's what it says. For as often as ye eat this bread, talking about the Lord's Supper now, listen to this. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Till He come. Do you realize He may come before tonight's service comes? And that's just fine with me. But if He doesn't, when we hold that bread in our hand tonight, and we hold that little container with that grape juice within it, and we put that unleavened bread in our mouth and we chew it and we crush it, we're reminded of how His body was chewed and crushed. And as we drink that grape juice, we're reminded of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we remember Him and we think about Him and we praise Him for His goodness. When all is said and done, you take that bread, you drink that juice, and you realize that He may be back before you do it ever again. What a promise. John 14:3, Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. The Bible says in Acts 1:11, which also said, after He ascended back into the clouds, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Observing the Lord's Supper is an exalted privilege. An exalted privilege. And it's a great reason to be back in God's house tonight. To observe the Lord's Supper. To remember His broken body, His shed blood. And to anticipate His soon return. It's been said in concerning the Lord's Supper that it is a commemoration service. You remember Him. It's an examination service where you examine yourself and make sure you are ready to partake of it. But then it's also an anticipation service where we anticipate the splitting of the eastern sky and the Lord coming back for His own. I'm just about done. You show me a Christian. You show me a Christian who is living an ungodly lifestyle, and I show you a Christian
who has lost sight of Calvary. You show me how you live, and I show you what Calvary means to you. May we never, ever get over his broken body. And may we never, ever get over his shed blood. Have you all have somebody on the other side of glory? Would you raise your hand? You got somebody over there? Yes. Yes. Do you know you're going? You may tell you why. When you lay a parent to rest, or a child to rest, or a grandparent to rest, or a brother or sister who knows the Lord now, you may tell you why there's hope. Because on that night he took the bread and he broke it. Because on that night he passed the cup around and he said, I'm going to do this for you. And all I want you to do, when you've trusted Christ as your Savior, when you've trusted me, all I'm asking with the Lord's Supper, don't forget me. Don't forget me. There's a little chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. May God help us never to forget the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. Amen this morning. This is in preparation. We're going to literally observe it tonight. I'm already looking forward to it. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, help us now, I pray. Challenge us from the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to never take this for granted. And I pray that you'll use this in a way that you see fit. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Today, I wonder, are you a candidate for the Lord's Supper? Let me explain what I mean. The Lord's Supper does not have saving power in itself. You don't become a Christian by partaking of the Lord's Supper, is what I'm saying. You partake of the Lord's Supper only if you are a Christian. It's observed by God's children. So if you're not saved today, you're not even a candidate. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says that there were those in the New Testament who partook of the Lord's Supper unworthily, and many of them went to an early grave because of it. Are you a candidate for the Lord's Supper? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Has his broken body and shed blood changed your life, saved your soul, delivered you, redeemed you, remitted your sin? Have you know that you are a child of God? You don't hope so, you don't think so, you know so. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Thank you. You can put your hand down. God bless you. If you could not raise your hand to that question, I want you to know that when Jesus Christ's body was broken, it was broken for you. When his blood was shed, it was shed for you.
His body broken, His blood shed, so you can be saved by the grace of God. If you're here today and say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that, but boy, I desire to. A God who did that for me, Jesus who broke His body and shed His blood for me, I want to trust Him. I need to be saved. I want to become a candidate for the Lord's Supper. I want to be able to participate, and I realize I can't unless I'm first in His family. Would you pray for me? Would you ask God to help me? I need to be saved. Is there anybody like that? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. But you say, pray for me. I need to be saved. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Put it up. Put it right back down. Anybody at all, put it up. Put it right back down. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Somebody else, you say, pray for me. I need Jesus. I need to be saved. If you raised your hand to that, in just a moment we're going to give an invitation. You come. We'll have a lady with a lady, a man with a man. We'll share the gospel with you. As we proceed with this invitation, let me ask you, Christian, is your heart right with God? Are you ready to partake of the Lord's Supper? Can you swallow that bread and drink that juice with a clear conscience? It's a dangerous thing to swallow it unworthily. Maybe some of you just need to come and say, God, prepare me for the Lord's Supper. May I say this, even us who our hearts, I believe, are right with God, it'd be good for many of us to gather at the altar just to say, Lord, prepare me for this. Help me to see the importance of this. My, my. This is serious. I hope many of you will respond to get ready for the Lord's Supper. May God help us. Let's all stand together. Father, take it and use it. Bless it and speak to our hearts. Help people to respond. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If you need to be saved, you come. If you just want to come and get on your face and say, God, prepare me for tonight. Whatever it is. As Brother Gary sings, I want you to come now. Would you do that? Come, please.
Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with
coming, getting ready. Preparing.
And He will
so that we do not partake of the Lord's Supper.
Rest by trusting in His
unworthy. We're preparing, they're playing through. I need to have all the deacons here tonight. I need you here at 5:45. I know we have a meeting scheduled for 6 o'clock. I'm backing it up 15 minutes because we've got to get prepared for the Lord's Supper. So all deacons and your wives are welcome to be in this meeting. At 5:45 tonight, all deacons be right in your place in the blue room. And as we close today, just kind of a somber mood. A time where we just remember the Lord, asking God to help us. And I encourage you to be back in God's house tonight. This is Sean Cutshaw. Sean, if you'll stand there, Brother and Miss Edens are right there with you. And Sean, today you are coming and you are asking Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Is that true? We are so happy for you, young man. God bless you. Have you happy for him? Say a big amen. Let me tell you why it's possible to have a young man like that come and say, I'm putting my faith and trust in him, because his body was broken, because his blood was shed. You say, you're repeating yourself. Aren't you used to that by now, you know? Let's don't forget this. We're so happy for you, so proud of you. God bless you. And we appreciate you coming to let us know that. Stay in here with us. Let us help you, okay?
Brother and Miss Edens, God bless you. I'll let you go ahead and take him out so we don't get hung up here and he can get out to the bus. God bless you. Be back in the Lord's house tonight at 6:30. If you're a guest and you have one of those white visitor cards, please take it out to the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift for you. Be here tonight. Be here tonight. And let's come ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, asking God to meet with us in a great way. Okay? I'm going to ask Preacher Lashley, sir, if you wouldn't mind, to dismiss us in prayer, sir.